It's Here and Now, and this was the number one movie at the box office over the weekend.
Right from the start, we were always very vocal that we couldn't follow the boy band stereotypes. Choreographed dance routines and everything's the same. Here we
go! One Direction, This Is Us, took in $17 million from Friday to Sunday. It's about the English-Irish boy band One Direction. Coming in second was The Butler, the drama about a White House butler and his civil rights activist son. And the strange pairing of top movies over Labor Day weekend caps a summer in which nothing turned out as expected at the box office. To explain, we're joined by Boston Globe film critic Ty Burr. Welcome, Ty.
Thanks, Jeremy. Nice to be here.
Well, let's talk first about this strange weekend at the box office. What's going on here over Labor Day weekend?
Well, I mean, we're at the end of August, and that's traditionally the dog days at the box office. And what you're seeing is this weird confluence of kind of niche programming, which really defined the summer as a whole, where Hollywood released almost half again as many blockbuster kind of movies, movies that cost more than $75 million to make. And it was a really crowded marketplace, and they ended up making a lot of money, but very few films ended up being genuine blockbusters. And with now we're getting into the end of the summer, you see The Butler, which is really kind of an Oscar season kind of movie, getting released a little early. And the One Direction movie is just, you know, a pure niche play to those the audience that wants to turn out for it.
Going after the niche consumer, just as it sounds like the way that cable now, you have an option for every possible thing you could want rather than focusing on just the five networks.
Absolutely. And, you know, some people have said, well, you know, the One Direction movie was directed by a well-known documentarian, Morgan Spurlock, but I think that's besides the point. I really doubt that 13-year-olds are saying, you know, hey, mom, dad, that new Morgan Spurlock movie is playing at the box office. I want to go see it.
Now, overall this summer, revenues are projected to be a record-breaking $4.7 billion, but attendance down 3%, and some of the highly anticipated films like Johnny Depp's The Lone Ranger tanked. So who was going to the movies?
A lot of different constituencies. You did have a lot of star vehicles, which didn't actually do all that well. It's proof that stars don't drive the economy of Hollywood movies the way they used to. Mm. I mean, Brad Pitt's an exception. World War Z was a movie that actually everybody was expecting was going to be terrible, turned out to be pretty good. Pitt actually at this point is one of the few people who actually can draw in an audience. But as we saw with Will Smith in After Earth, Johnny Depp and Lone Ranger, it's not working as much as
what about Elysium with Matt Damon? Did that do well?
It did decently. A lot of movies did decently. And that's part of the problem when you have a crowded marketplace with a lot of not terribly original ideas. Elysium is, it's not a sequel, but it is very much in a genre we're familiar with, the Soylent Green genre, you know, the dystopia future genre.
Well, let's talk briefly about one of the films that did meet expectations, Iron Man 3. It grossed over $1 billion. Robert Downey Jr. returns as billionaire Tony Stark, who also happens to be the superhero Iron Man. I don't think I'm giving away anything from that. Iron Man is challenged by the Mandarin, a villain who claims responsibility for a number of terrorist bombings. Let's listen to this scene where Stark uses the media to respond.
Here's a little holiday greeting I've been wanting to send to the Mandarin. I just didn't know how to phrase it until now. My name is Tony Stark, and I'm not afraid of you. I know you're a coward, so I've decided
that you just died, pal. I'm gonna come get the body.
And Iron Man 3, Ty Burr, is one of the many sequels that are topping the box office this summer. I noticed that of the top 10 grossing films of the summer, four were sequels: Iron Man 3, Despicable Me 2, Fast and the Furious 6, and Star Trek Into Darkness. What about this? It's the summer of sequels.
Did you include Monsters University?
Which is a prequel, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. This is what summer is about, and it also reflects the new global audience that Hollywood is selling to. These are pre-sold properties, and people know to a certain extent what they're going to get. And the reason I think that Iron Man 3 is at the top of the list is that, again, this is one of the rare cases where a star quality is important. You know, people go to that movie expecting, for a superhero movie, a reasonably smart movie with a smart performance by a smart actor, Robert Downey Jr. But Hollywood makes most of its money overseas these days. Hmm. And it's worth noting that Despicable Me 2 made $350 million here, but made $800 million worldwide. Same with Fast and Furious. These are pre-sold properties that everybody around the planet knows, and the marketers don't have to do the work. They just put them out there.
They're established brands,
right.
And when they come and say, will you fund this movie, it's a lot easier probably when there's a built-in audience.
Absolutely.
For it. Well, let's listen to one sequel that did not do well. This was the third installment of the Hangover series, where Bradley Cooper, Ed Helms, and Zach Galifianakis return as the Wolf Pack, a trio that always seems to get into trouble when they get together. Let's hear a clip when Alan, this is the Zach Galifianakis character, is going into rehab, but Phil, the Bradley Cooper character, doesn't think it's such a good idea.
They should just save their money and send him to fat camp.
Phil!
What? He should lose some weight or find a woman. That's what he needs. The dude's lonely.
Well, if he's so lonely, why don't the two of you spend more time with him?
No, trust me, you don't want that.
No, you definitely don't want that.
Tiber, why didn't The Hangover 3 work in the category of sequels?
Well, aside from the fact that it's a dreadful, terrible movie, a couple of things. It's a sequel, yes, but the sequels that play well to global audiences, of course, have, for better and largely worse, in my opinion, are overloaded with special effects, digital effects. They're all about sensationalism. This was a comedy. It's a character comedy. The other thing is that the third, as often in the case when they're running out of ideas, they departed from the setup that had worked for the first film very well and arguably for the second film. It's a different kind of plot, and it was, again, a lousy movie.
One of the movies that we talked a lot about, and we haven't mentioned here, but we talked a lot about earlier this summer, is The Heat. Where do you put that? Where do you place that in terms of this summer of movies?
There's a case of a character comedy that works, where you've got one known quantity, Melissa McCarthy, who's redoing sort of what she did in Bridesmaids. Mm-hmm. And playing very well with another actress, Sandra Bullock. I mean, the chemistry, a lot of these movies, especially with character-driven comedies and dramas, it's about the chemistry between the leads. And those two had real chemistry. They were fun to watch. I mean, it was a broad, sloppy, silly comedy, but it was funny, and they were fun to watch.
What was your favorite movie of the summer?
Well, are we talking big box office, or are we talking, art house? Because it was a very, very good summer for under-the-radar alt kind of art house movies. I mean, you had Blue Jasmine coming in at the end of the summer, one of Woody Allen's best, with an incredible performance by Cate Blanchett. You had this great documentary, 20 Feet from Stardom, about the backup singers of the 60s and 70s, which everybody I know who's seen that movie is just over the moon for it. You even had a good Shakespeare movie. You had Much Ado About Nothing, shot in a Hollywood mansion that works. A lot of the smaller movies really delivered on just plain straight-up entertainment and food for thought in a way that the big dinosaurs of the multiplexes did not.
Okay, well, give us something to look forward to this fall. What do we know is coming out, and what will you be excited about?
Well, yes, we are into Oscar season. The Toronto Film Festival is about to start, and that's sort of the official opening gun of the awards season, important movies that are good for you. I am looking forward to a lot of things. There's a new Coen Brothers movie called Inside Llewyn Davis that's supposed to be terrific. August Osage County, the Tracy Letts play, is being brought to the screen with a cast that's out of this world. Meryl Streep, Julia Roberts. Mm. Tom Hanks is playing in a film called Captain Phillips as the captain of a ship hijacked by Somalian pirates. It looks to be an interesting year. Emma Thompson's in two movies. She hasn't been around for a while, and both of them sound really, really good. And there's a Hobbit movie. That's the counter programming in the Oscar season, is a big, digital effects, special effects extravaganza.
Ty Burr is the film critic for the Boston Globe, also author of Gods Like Us on Movie Stardom and Modern Fame. Ty, thanks as always.
Thank you, Jeremy. Nice to be here.
And as we listen to the soundtrack of the second Hobbit movie, which opens in December, or actually this is the soundtrack from the first film, perfectly appropriate for the news that we have, which is that Diana Nyad has completed her swim from Cuba to the Florida Keys. Jeremy, on CNN, people are saying that they have reported seeing her on the beach, but she's surrounded by so many supporters that we can't see her right now.
You can't quite tell. This is her fifth attempt. We do know that.
Yeah, she has hit the beach. There has been confirmation of that. It's just extraordinary. Let's listen to a little more of this music because it's exactly how we feel about her.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.